Now, in studio, two local servant leaders, business owners, and family men committed to empowering San Diego to rise up. Your hosts, Jared Kelly and James Carmody.
I'm late getting into the show because I have the turkey hangover day after Thanksgiving. This is Rise Up Radio. I'm your host, Jared Kelly, and I'm here with James Carmody, and we are, you're in for a treat. Again, I feel like we say that every show, but we just get to interview rock stars. We get to interview people that are rising up and choosing to make a difference here in San Diego. And we say, this is America's finest city, but it's our job to maintain it.
It is. I mean, I'm still a little bit of a coma. I think I ate way too much, which is kind of par for the course for me. You know, there's the first plate, and then there, like, dessert doesn't happen until like the next day because I could have a couple plates.
Football day, turkey, great time with family. And we said this on last show, like, just be thankful. It's a great season to be thankful. And starting the next season, I hope everyone has their Christmas tree up already.
Yes, we are going out on Sunday to get a tree at the Carmody house. And I'm sure, you know, the dog, I'm sure Ralphie will knock it over the first night, but I'm so excited for Christmas. Can't wait.
And please, I hope that you didn't spend all of your 2017 budget on Black Friday items.
God.
And today you're lucky because the show is at a discount. We're free.
We are free today. But before we dive into that, I just want to step back because you brought up something about gratitude and being thankful for what you have. And yes, you know, we just celebrated Thanksgiving and it is the season, but really take a minute to look at, like, when was the last time you said thank you to someone in your life? Like, called up a family member or a friend or someone you haven't talked to in a while and just said, hey, you know what? I really appreciate you. And I haven't done a great job of keeping in touch, but I just want to call and say thanks for being in my life and you're important to me. You will change that person's day. Guaranteed.
Yeah, absolutely. You can skip the next 5 minutes of the show. We said this last time. Just call someone right now. Call someone. Don't get in a car wreck. It'll help you get over that turkey hangover. And like we say on this show, rising up is an action. Rising is up is something that you have to do to maintain this fine city, but also just to operate at peak performance for yourself. So please rise up. Please be the best person that you can be, and you're a leader. Whether you're waving to your neighbor, whether you're just choosing to smile, you're a leader. And I want to talk about, real quick, I have to throw it into the show. Last weekend.
Okay, folks, now's the time to make those calls.
NASCAR race. Jimmy Johnson won his 7th championship. He's tied with the 2 all-time other greats, the Intimidator and the King.
Is that the sausage guy? Is that Links or Patty?
Yeah. He's done amazing stuff for the sport of NASCAR. And James, I'll do a little trivia. He won his 80th race this weekend in Miami. The King, guess how many races he's won?
His 80th race.
So not Jimmy. We're talking about a little different guy, the King of NASCAR.
The King of NASCAR, which, you know, folks, I have no clue who this is. Like, Jared's on an island with this one.
All right.
But the King won 120 races.
200 races.
200 races.
The Intimidator, Dale Earnhardt, he was around 120, so you're right there. And
okay.
And then Jimmy's right behind Jeff Gordon now, so... Great people in the sport. 200 races.
Okay, and what I will indulge you here for a little bit. What does the average driver, how many races in a year? What's that career look like?
So you're around 20 races, something like that, 24 races. I'm sorry, I don't know. They've changed the
Okay,
the
so over a 10-15 year career, that guy's went in 15 to 20 races a year.
Yeah, there's no one, they're saying in the next 30 years there's no one that will even touch the 80 races because you have to start winning as a rookie and build up. So there's no one's going to even be able to touch that.
Right.
So Jeff,
I get the world of it now. I can appreciate this level of champion.
Jeff and Jimmy were Jeff Gordon and Jimmy were kind of the two rising stars over the last 20 years. So Jimmy's 41 now and just hit his 80th. And I mean, he should be exiting, but just like the greats, he's not, and he's going to keep competing. So
I appreciate your excitement for NASCAR. And folks, if you're a NASCAR fan, Jared just has an ear to ear smile on his face.
It's a great team sport. It really is.
It is not a team sport.
We'll debate this later.
But folks, thank you for being here. You are in for a treat. We have an amazing, amazing guest with us today. We have a gentleman who is a best-selling author, speaker, as a podcast. He is a West Point grad, former Army officer. He is the founder and CEO of Be Financially Fit, and he is passionate about intentionally transitioning veterans, going from deployment to dollars. With us in the studio is Scott Tucker. Scott, thanks for being here.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you.
Yeah, I mean, wow, you have quite the resume here.
Well, it's stuff I'm working on and have been working on for a number of years, but it's only in the last couple years coming here to San Diego and really getting in with all the different veterans organizations and active duty as well that I started to realize, hey, there's something missing that we need to address. And I thought this unique message of intentional transitioning is where I can make a little bit of a difference.
Yeah. And we've talked about that topic on the show, you know, several times. Transitioning, it's so important, you know, San Diego being, you know, the military town in the world, you know, but I want to pause on that for a second before we, you know, keep charging forward on that. Let's dig into a little bit more of, you know, just your background, your story, you know, where'd you grow up? Where are you from?
Well, you know, it's funny because, you know, Facebook does that. Hey, 12 years ago today, you know, remember what happened. The one that popped up for me today was when I surprised my parents in Ohio. They thought I was in Tikrit, Iraq. They had no idea I was coming home. I got my sisters in on the thing. They picked me up from the airport and I'm sitting on the couch with my dog. My mom walks home from being a kindergarten teacher sitting there in my uniform and she's like, what is going on? And, yeah, that was 12 years ago today that, little caveat, whenever I was deployed or overseas, stationed in Germany or, even from school, my dad being Ohio State football coach, I can always get tickets to the Ohio State Michigan game, and that's coming up tomorrow. And that's what I did 12 years ago. I tied it up to come back for not only Thanksgiving, but also to go to the Ohio State Michigan game and
get
spend time with my family. Go Bucks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wow. So,
I grew up in Ohio.
Yeah. So you grew up in Ohio. Mm-hmm. Dad was a football coach.
Yep.
Mom's a kindergarten teacher.
Yep.
And what was kind
of walked down the recruiter's office.
Exactly. What was the thought process to go to West Point?
You know, as a little kid, if you look back at all my photos, I was the kid dressed up in the camouflage. Like literally, whenever there was a costume party, somebody would call me up, Scott, can I get all your camouflage? And I was like, dude, I only have one pair. I just wear it a lot.
I've just been stretching it and wearing it a lot.
Yeah. And I got lucky. My high school physics teacher had been a West Point graduate from the 60s, served in Vietnam, and just wasn't a thing most people got interested in, but I did. I always wanted to interview him, kind of talk to him.
Patriot.
And once I mentioned, hey, I think I'm kind of thinking about going to the Army. I don't. Most people go to school to get an engineering degree or for journalism. They're going to Purdue for this or Penn State for that. And I just kind of wanted to be in the Army. And so he said, well, then you're going to West Point. And he basically just, you know, led me on the way, as a good leader will do. And sure enough, it worked out quite to my surprise. But that's kind of how I ended up there.
Awesome. And tell us a little bit about, you know, so you graduate West Point, mm-hmm. and you come in as an officer. You know, what did that look like for you?
It was my senior year at West Point when 9/11 happened. Mm-hmm. And so if you think back to the late 90s, right before 9/11, guys were coming back from Bosnia, Kosovo, that kind of stuff was going on. There really wasn't much in the air regards to China, or especially not Russia. And we just literally never thought we were going to war again. We in some ways thought, oh, I guess unless we blow up to World War III with China, that's, you know, there's never going to be, you know, for lack of a better term, an opportunity to use all the skills that we're learning by going to West Point and being in the military. And so all of a sudden that all changed that day. And it was my graduation where President Bush gave that Bush Doctrine speech, you know, kind of the preemptive speech. And I literally turned to my buddy and I said, did he just say we're going to war with Iraq? And within a year, a lot of us were already downrange. So to come out those last 6 months with the training and the knowledge that, oh, this is real now. And everything's changed, and we're going to have to do it. So we went into our officer training much more intentionally than I think we kind of had planned to before that.
Mm-hmm. And I think in that point, not only 9/11, but we've just finished up Desert Storm, some other operations that looked a little bit different than this new transition of terrorism. And just from all of my friends and people that have kind of entered at that same time, most of the things that we were doing were humanitarian issues, right? And I just want to talk about that just for a second before we dig into the transition piece, because most of the time when we think of military, it's we're protecting the United States, but we're the world's help, right? And I would love for you to dig into that for about a minute of just like what you got to experience and how you were involved with helping the world from a humanitarian standpoint.
It's... You know, we just have the resources, you know, financial, you know, the people, the equipment and the ingenuity around it. And so when they send us, you know, downrange, as soon as the main fighting was over, we immediately transitioned our mindset to, hey, let's help these people out. You just see the squalor, how difficult it is for these people to leave, to having had no support under those authoritarian regimes for decades. And now we can come in and hopefully, if there's not too much bureaucracy around it, we'll be able to use our skills and all the resources around it to help those people out. So it was a fun experience.
And being part of Financially Fit and what you're doing now is absolutely amazing, just in that transition. And so stay tuned. We're going to take a short break. We're going to dig into what that looks like to transition from... Let's be real. Like, you start as a civilian, you enter the military, and you come out as a civilian. But there's a chunk of time there that looks different. And how do we make win-win-win situations through that? And how do we respect the military? Because especially in San Diego, a third of us are related or a part of a military family. So stay tuned. This is Rise Up Radio.
AM 1170, The Answer.
Hey, Craig Sewing here, consumer activist. You hear me every day at 6 p.m. on KCBQ. My goal is to help you win in any marketplace. One of the things that applies to every single person that listens to our show and that's listening right now, you have a credit score, and more likely than not, it has inaccuracies on it. Nobody seems to understand how these things work. Here's what I can tell you. I have a credit expert that's a partner in the show named Aran Sinai. I call him the credit magician. If you've ever had any issues with your credit, you want to get your scores up, maybe a foreclosure, bankruptcy, or maybe just a collection. You know, the city of San Diego can send parking tickets to collections? Crazy. Well, bad credit's a choice. Reach out to Aran Sinai. How do you do that? You go to our website, AmericanDreamElite.com. AmericanDreamElite.com. Hit me up on the contact form. I'll connect you with Aran. AmericanDreamElite.com. If you've ever had any credit issues whatsoever, AmericanDreamElite.com.
AM 1170, The Answer.
Welcome back, folks. Happy Friday. Hope you enjoyed Thanksgiving with your family and loved ones and are recovering slowly from that turkey hangover. With us in studio is a former West Point grad, Army officer, author, speaker, and just all-around badass patriot, Scott Tucker. And we were digging into Scott's story a little bit, and we were talking about what it was like to, you know, start to shift from, you know, he came out of West Point right after 9/11 as an Army officer. And we were starting to dig in a little bit about, you know, what was it like to go from, you know, military tactics to actually humanitarian relief in some of these countries. Share a little bit more about that, like boots on the ground. Like, what were you guys up to making a difference over there?
Well, once we got established on our installations, you know, we were on the forward operating bases, the FOBs, which we basically just, you know, go out on daily missions to try to help out. Now, my unit was mostly doing convoy protection. So we're moving supplies all around the country, both to support the military and to support the local population as well. But a lot of times we'd get to go out and, you know, bring a bunch of supplies, toys, food, and visit the kids. I got some photos on my website of holding all these Iraqi kids and giving us the number one. So you just really got to notice how much we can impact a young person who has no say in how they're going to control their life in a country like that.
Right. Under an authoritarian regime. Yeah. Don't speak English. Don't have any education.
Don't have any money.
And they see an American soldier and, you know, you're there with resources and to actually be of service.
Right. And for lack of a better term, we look in a way where we got all the equipment on, we're big, we're tall, we're giving things, we're smiling a lot, we're laughing with them. And you can see them light up and say, oh, this is a superhero in their little kid eyes. You know what I mean? And so it's fun to be able to give them that level of happiness.
So the military does an amazing job of staying on mission.
Incredible job.
I think the one thing it's important to stay on mission. But what you've done in the space that you've stepped into with being financially fit and your ethos now is there is an education in the military. There isn't really. You got 3 days when you're exiting, like fire hose, learn everything you can. And that's not really enough time to get out of the military. So I think that let's just spend some time talking about what does it mean to transition out? What is the education in the military that is happening, that's good, and what are the importance of maybe making that plan and starting that even while you're on mission?
And from the listener standpoint, like, what do those 3 days look like? You know, let's start there.
Okay. Well, when you talk about the 3 days, you're talking about the TAPS program and stuff like that, and that can happen anywhere from 6 to 18 months out when you can get in that class. And of course, the earlier you're going to do something like that, the better. And you know, to be fair, the organizations that are putting on that they're giving out tons of resources, and it's very, very helpful. And the checklist, I actually just went to the San Diego Military Family Collaborative does a spouses transition training, and I think all military spouses should be going to that every couple months when they run it. And not just when you're within that 6 to 18 month window. And that's the mistake that most service members make, is they're only waiting until those 3 days to get any sort of education. I think it needs to happen on day one of you entering the military in some regards.
Correct. And TAPS is great. I've also been able to be a part of some of those and help even teach some of the classes, but it is a fire hose.
It is a fire.
For 3 days. And it's like, I don't even know what to do first. I've been being told what to do. I've been marching for the last 4, 12, 20 years. I mean, there's officers that are sitting like, retiring officers that are sitting in this class or enlisted that are like, I have no idea what to do next.
Right. And that's clearly obviously not TAP's fault. That's the service member's fault of not taking a step back and taking a big picture look at what do you want your military career to be about? Because regardless of who you are, even if you want to be a general, not that many are making it to James Mattis level where you're going to get picked up as Secretary of Defense. You're getting out sometime within the next 20 years, probably closer to, you know, 3 to 4 year marker or even closer. But regardless, everyone is going to transition out of the military. Nobody stays in forever. So until you get that picture of what you really want to do in the military in your head, you can't figure out what you want to do next.
So Scott, are you saying, think about it as a holistic career. Mm-hmm. I'm in the military. I'm serving a purpose right now. And I need to be planning for the next 20 years, day one.
Well, look at how, when someone goes to university.
Correct.
Okay. You know, you're in for 4 years, might be going to get a grad degree or a little bit more, another 2, 6 years if you want to become a doctor or something like that. But there is a clear end state and a clear intention now, if you want to go get your medical degree, to, I need these 4 years, I need to get straight A's, boom, there's my intention, transition out, go to med school, get good grades, then I'm going to be a doctor. Okay. Then they go on for the rest of your life. Now, with the military, you know, we know we're in the military. Hey, we're going to, you know, be an officer, be enlisted. This is my mission on a day-to-day basis. But when that transition comes, what do you want to do? If all you've got is that TAPS class teaching you how to do a resume, put on a suit, and maybe, you know, how to answer interview questions and hope that that company will hire you with decent benefits, that's not a formula for happiness long-term after the military.
What was your transition like, your personal transition? What did you jump into? What were you excited about?
Well, mine was a little unique. I was living in Germany, stationed over there. I kind of had what I call the aha moment. Mm. I'm sitting behind a computer screen in a big military command. I'm an officer, but I was only an O3, a captain. Most of the people running around are colonels, so you know they're all freaking out about hopefully getting promoted and you know, causing whatever work they needed to have, and didn't really care what I was doing. And I just noticed I could just skate along like this for another 15 years, get my pension, and you know, be fine with it. But you know, I wanted a little bit more. I wanted some challenge, and that's just because the career field I was in, I couldn't go off and be special forces or anything like that. Nor did I really want to be. So being in Germany, I wanted to stay there. I was dating a German opera singer at the time. And I noticed, I ran into a former Army lacrosse player. I played lacrosse at Army as well. And he introduced me to an opportunity to be a financial advisor for the military overseas. So I started off pretty much like any other financial advisor would be. Yes, technically I was self-employed, but really I was just in another job, wearing a suit, you know, trying to transition out, and really didn't know what I was doing. I had mentors and training, of course, but I had no real intention on my transition. That's the biggest mistake I made, and want to help other people prevent themselves from making.
So what did you say that intention looks like? What's maybe one or two simple steps of intention? And I think that's a good word.
Yeah. I like to use the drill of what's your dream day? And it seems cheesy in some regards, but really think about if you woke up tomorrow and you were no longer in the military, what would happen for you? Now realize with that, if you woke up tomorrow and you know, would the military need you if you weren't in the military tomorrow, or would you need the military more if you weren't in the military tomorrow, if you weren't prepared? Okay. So, to really have a clear picture of what you want that day to look like when you're no longer in the military, is one of the most important things you can do. Who are you with? What are you doing that? What things are fun to you? From that, you can really understand your passions. And if it takes time to figure that out, then take the time. I traveled the world. That was my way of getting really outside the box, getting uncomfortable, really finding out who I was and what I wanted to accomplish. And then when I did my dream day, I clearly realized, oh my gosh, I need to be helping other people do what I'm doing.
So what would you say traveling the world did for you? Like many people don't get that opportunity to necessarily travel the world, but I would in a sense think that it resonates with, you could do that here in San Diego. You could do that maybe by traveling to a couple different spaces to.
Right. All you have to do is get outside of your norm. Okay. You know, what you think society has told you is the right way to live your life. Just go see how other people are living. Realize one, oh, these people are happy and they don't seem to have a little lot of stuff going on, for instance, or you can notice the poverty in the unfortunate circumstances a lot of people live in and realize we don't have a whole lot to complain about over here. I need to step it up and help others that aren't noticing this.
Yeah. If you're hanging out in Coronado all the time, maybe beneficial to go up to Oceanside and Pendleton and just hang out for a couple of days.
Oh, isn't that bad up in Marine Landings? Fair enough. Right? Fair enough. You can do it very locally. Yeah.
Totally different set of agendas and people. And I think not bad. That's not a bad thing because we're all needed. All of us are needed to be part of this. So
sure.
We got a couple minutes left. If you could leave us just with some... The message that we need to hear for transitioning vets, what is that?
Okay, so back to the idea of transitioning intentionally. You know, I really want, you know, if you've got those 3 years, you know, where you know you have at least 3 years before you're going to drop that paperwork, you have an opportunity now to save money. Save money not because everybody says save for retirement or do your budget. Save for the transition first and foremost. Give yourself that, you know, flexibility to not just have to take that first job after taps with the resume. You know, as a world traveler, I encourage everyone, take some time to travel.
Yeah.
You know, save some money. But now if you don't have the 3 years, realize it's going to be a little bit harder. If you have more than 3 years, if you're an officer and you're only saving 10% of your income for transition, you can get out at 10 years with over $100,000.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so do the math for all of the ranks and time frames there, but that's time to start a business, travel, go figure out what kind of job is going to serve you. Don't just be someone that serves another employer.
Absolutely. And you through this process, you've even been able to write a book, a best-selling book, From Deployment to Dollars, and it'll be available early 2017, an ebook, and 6 ways to intentionally transition and why you should start now. Please, if you want a copy of that or you want to get involved in just helping transition, or you're in that place where you need some help, reach out to us. All the information will be on sdriseup.com.
Yeah, actually, if you text on your phone the word transition to 313131, I'll send you over a free copy of that ebook.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Scott. We have another great guest coming in, so stay tuned. We're going to switch gears a little bit from military to empowering women. This is Rise Up Radio, sdriseup.com. Grab that cash with both hands
and make a stash. AM 1170, The Answer.
Hey, do you believe in global warming? This seems to be a hot topic these days, no pun intended. Question is this: is it real? Is it man-manufactured? Is it just the earth being old? Or is it just a political play? You know what? I don't know and I don't care. Craig Sewing here, and I'm here to tell you this. Whether global warming exists or not, it always makes sense to try and protect our planet, regardless of global warming and the political argument. It always makes sense to save money. So, why not explore the opportunity financially that exists with solar energy? If you put in solar energy into your home, you can save a ton of money that you're wasting on your electric and gas bill. Why not go solar? It saves you money. And look, it's good for the planet. Whether you believe in global warming or not, doesn't really matter. Anything we can do that's good for the planet that can save you money, 2 thumbs up for me. The problem is there's a lot of shady companies out there. So I want to recommend just one. The only company that I endorse for solar, it's Baker Electric Solar. They've been in business for almost a century. I know these guys really well. They're good friends of mine. Visit them online, BakerElectricSolar.com. That's BakerElectricSolar.com. You can go there from your smartphone. Today is the day. Let's save some money. Let's get those solar panels. They'll do a complimentary review. BakerElectricSolar.com. Hey, San Diego, Craig Sewing here. Look, one of the things that nobody likes to hear is that they got bugs in their home. Almost all California homes have some sort of bug or termite problem. It's not a cool thing to have bugs running around your house, so I'm going to help you get rid of them. I want you to connect with Lloyd's Pest Control. These are our good friends at the Craig Sewing Show. They can help you. They've been in business putting bugs out of business since 1931. They'll do a free inspection for you. If you want to get your biggest investment checked out, make sure there's not bugs or termites, go to LloydPest.com. That's LloydPest.com and get a free inspection of your real estate today.
Hey, San Diego. Did you know that consumers actually have the choice on who they use for title insurance on their real estate transactions? Most people don't even realize this. Well, you most certainly do. And your choice should be Title 365. Title 365 is one of the most well-known names in title and should be your choice for title insurance on your real estate purchase. You're in great hands with Title 365. Local representatives are available to provide you with the guidance you need. Visit kcbq.com and ask to be connected.
AM 1170, The Answer.
Welcome back, folks. You are listening to Rise Up Radio. You're following us at sdriseup.com. We thank you for spending your Friday evening with us. We hope you had a great Thanksgiving and you took time to actually make that call and thank someone in your life for being in your life and letting them know what they mean to you. Earlier on the show, we had Scott Tucker, former Army officer, West Point grad, teaching veterans how to transition to be financially fit. And we have a nice transition going on, speaking of transition, to a rock star young woman who is really making a difference in educating children and specifically bringing gender equality and empowering ladies. With us in studios, author, speaker, founder, and CEO of Bible Bells, Erin Weideman. Thank you for being here.
So excited to be here.
Yeah.
It's Thanksgiving. It's a nice way to spend the lead into your weekend.
Awesome. Black Friday doesn't have to be. Maybe you're asleep by now because you got up at 1 a.m. to go.
Right, to go get that flat screen.
To go get the flat
that
screen.
New iPhone 10, what 20, whatever
it doesn't do anything different than iPhone 3.
Yeah.
But
gosh, but how about Erin's background? I mean, Erin is, you know, so she's the founder and CEO of Bible Bells, which we're going to dig into what she's up to with that. She is a former college athlete, 5-time cancer survivor, hero, Christian, all around amazing woman.
Thank you so much for that lead in.
Yeah.
Well, best intro ever.
Let's dig into it. Jared and I are excited to share with our listeners, you know, and let's back up, like, you know, where'd you grow up? Where are you from? What's your background?
So grew up in Orange, California, two-parent home, sister, super committed to sports and just achieving academically. As a very young person, I started off just being overly competitive, very insecure, and just committed to attaining the world's definition of success. So I got to do well in school. I got to be the best athlete I can be. And that served me well for a while.
Right, serves you well when you're a young person.
But really was just a broken way to live my life. And you know, as a girl trying to sort of navigate childhood, adolescence, my teen years, really got into some trouble.
Okay.
And not necessarily that, but I can relate to, I mean, all the trophies also, I don't even know where they are.
Like, no, they're in a box somewhere. Dust like in a box in my dad's basement.
So my mom's been saving for 30 years. That who cares?
Yeah.
And I don't mean that in a bad way, but just like Scott was talking about, like we have a period in our life where we're prepping for other things. And I think when we're talking about that, like what were we doing to be generous, and what were we learning to be involved with philanthropy and giving back and providing value in those early years. And I would just ask that we would start resonating with that message versus just win. Why?
Well, how are you being when you win? You
know? Right.
Are you being a competitor? Are you being a sportsman? Like in NASCAR, apparently, earlier this week.
Yes.
So, Aaron, where'd you go to college? What's your alma mater?
I went to Penn State.
Ooh, okay, smart girl.
Nittany Lions were ranked 8th in the college polls now, so I can talk a little bit of game as far as sports and football goes, which I couldn't in past years. But yeah, full ride scholarship to Penn State to play softball. I moved across, you know, from the West Coast to the East Coast and was really just alone, no family, nobody there sort of pouring into me for who I was going to be. Loved my time there and, you know, learned to be, it was really the peak of my career. So I learned to be, you know, as gifted of an athlete I was going to be. And just when I graduated, completely lost my identity. I had built it up in sports and accolades and awards for so long. I was very lost when I graduated and took a job that was completely misaligned with all of my gifts and talents. I went into finance, which you all can appreciate.
Yeah.
Yeah, I went into finance and because I wanted to make a lot of money. And I thought, okay, if I, you know, what's that next level of success? What's that thing I'm supposed to attain? I got to be this strong, successful career woman. I don't need anybody's help. I can make money by myself. And I'm going to do that, you know, doing whatever I can do to claw my way to the top. And that's what I did for 3 years.
Okay. And then, so obviously you're not fulfilled. You're not satisfied. What does that transition look like?
The transition was a violent shove by the Lord. I worked that job for so long, and I just imagine it being just this tug of war where you've got this other life on the side of the choices that you're making. And I was diagnosed at 26 with metastasized thyroid cancer. I was in a doctor's office for 2 minutes getting a really quick exam, and the doctor, you know, did his examination for just a few moments and then put his hands on my hands and said, "You have cancer. I don't know what kind, but I'm positive, and we should have surgery tomorrow. Can you get off work?"
Oh, boy.
And I was very confused, but my mom was with me, and I watched, like, the blood drain out of her face, and my mom is, like, this unemotional, super strong, you know, has worked the same job for her entire life, so she's just, like, she's my rock. And she was, you know, talking really low and asking him lots of concerned questions. I just knew immediately something was very, very wrong. I didn't realize how wrong though, but yeah, I've gone through many, many surgeries since then, and it's come back and back and back. And I've had it a total of 5 times, lots of different surgeries, lots of treatment, a lot of radiation, a lot of weird, you know, things that not everybody has to deal with. So it's just been a very interesting journey, I think, from that point in my life to now.
Wow. Okay. And folks, you would know that if you were sitting here in studio, you know, Aaron is a powerhouse. You know, she's a beautiful young woman, looks healthy, which is great. Thank God for that. As you know, talk to us a little bit about Bible Bells. Where did this idea come from? What were you up to?
So I think, you know, personally, it's Bible Bells is definitely born out of my struggles with insecurity and comparison and competition as a girl. I've been teaching full-time the last 10 years, almost 10 years, and coaching and tutoring and just spending a lot of time with kids. And the more time I spend with kids, the more I just see those same struggles with girls specifically. I'm not beautiful. I'm not enough. I don't have anything to offer. So I need to change things about myself to fit inside the world's definition of beauty. I've got to put myself into this box. And it's wrong. The way that girls feel about themselves, the way I felt, the way I know my daughter will feel, she's 2.5 and she's going to grow up and have those same feelings. We have got to, as the adults and all the grown-up girls or the dads of girls, I mean, everybody out there has a vested interest in impacting this next generation of girls to grow up and become exactly who God made them to be and to understand that His definition of beauty is the only one that matters.
Mic drop. So when when I first met you and I discovered the book, so we haven't even really talked about, you have a series of books that spell HERD, and let's dig into that a little bit. Why is it spell HERD? What does that mean to you?
So we wanted to figure out a way for girls to connect with real heroes. I think for me, that was what I was lacking as a child. I needed women who swam against the flow of culture. I needed to see those women in my life. I should have known those stories. I wish someone would have poured those stories into me as a young girl. And our series, the HERD series, is why we call it that, because we're identifying 5 women from the Bible, and their names are Hannah, Esther, Abigail, Ruth, and Deborah. And their initials together spell the word HERD. And it's just this beautiful metaphor for a weapon, the weapon that we all need to battle back against the world's noise. This world is so loud. It tells girls, here's what you need to be beautiful. This is what you need to wear. This is what you need to say. This is how you need to look and change the outer appearance. And the world is just, it's really loud, but it's wrong. So the HERD series is essentially a way for us to take 5 extraordinary women from the Bible who are not typically taught. You know, most of the teaching in the church is dominated by the male stories, just how it's been throughout history. So we chose 5 women who exhibit qualities that have to do with inner beauty. How are you building character? How are you building someone's heart? And we've looked at these stories and presented them in a way that we feel girls can truly connect with them.
And I love that piece. And that's why I went home when I first discovered what this was, and I was like talking to my wife, and we have 2 boys. And she was like, I need these to read for nighttime stories to our boys. Like, this is something that they need to understand too, so that we do have respect. We can share the same level of respect for men and women. I think that that's a big thing of there's insecurities on both sides that the culture just pours into us. But to understand what you have proximity to problem, right? You have proximity to as a man, I didn't experience that. But I think if I would have understood it more, I didn't have to be part of the problem. Right. And I think that's a great thing that you're digging into and just not only digging into, like you said, like you're nudging other people. It's not just a nudge. Like this is right in front of you, and understand that this is noise that is not right. So how do you transition from, is it the cancer? What is the thing that that propelled you to say, this is not the 9-to-5, the punch the time clock, that I'm not going to make a difference? Like, what propelled you into just leaning into your gifts?
It's a really good question. So I mean, I was living 100 miles an hour, head down, sleeping under my desk during the height of the housing boom. So you guys are in real estate, you know. That diagnosis stopped me. It was very abrupt. It was very scary. We did not catch it early. I mean, I have a 30-page op report that says the phrase "very diseased woman" 40 times inside of it. It was terrifying. It was terrifying. And 2 months into my diagnosis, I did like what a former athlete would do. I was like, I can do this. I'm mentally tough. My sports prepared me to endure some of the physical stress and the struggles that I'm going to go through having to rehab and rehabilitate myself. So I did that for a few months, and there was just this moment during a 72-hour quarantine for radiation. So when you have metastasized thyroid cancer, they give you a pill of radiation that you have to swallow. It comes in a metal box that they will not touch, but you have to swallow it. And they put you in a room by yourself for 3 days. No hugs, no other people. That was a really rough couple of days for me. Around the 12th hour, I got really dizzy. And I put my face against the floor in the bathroom. And after not having prayed for about 10 years, by then, I walked away from my faith. I was not following the Lord. I prayed. And I asked God to help me. I told him I was sorry. I told him I had made a lot of mistakes. I'd been trying to do all of this stuff on my own, and I couldn't. And I needed help. And it was really that moment for me, just admitting that this life isn't about just bearing the weight of everything on your own, and it isn't all about you. Once I figured that out, the blessings that have poured out from my time in that room, I became a teacher. I got to pour into the lives of thousands of kids. I became a wife. I'm a mom. I never expected to have a baby. I was sick. I was real sick. But the blessings that have poured out, once I got out of my own way and stepped into the life that God created for me, everything changed.
I think that's a key piece of this, that we a lot of times get in our own way.
Yes.
What are you doing that's in your own way? As we talked about at the beginning of the show, just tell someone you're thankful for what they're doing because they're pouring into your life. We're going to dig into more of Aaron's story when we get back. This is Rise Up Radio, strriseup.com. Take a rest on the porch. Imagination
sets in. Pretty soon I'm singing. AM 1170.
Hey, San Diego, Craig Sewing here. One of the things I know very well is real estate. Inman News nominated me for most influential in the space, and I launched a nationwide network built on the timely truths of our real estate market. Look, one of the many relationships you're going to encounter when buying a home or refinancing is who handles the money, also known as the escrow company. When it comes to hundreds of thousands of dollars, or maybe even millions of dollars in a real estate transaction, you can't just use anyone. I trust Oakwood Escrow. These guys and gals are the best in the business, offering trustworthy service. Whether you're a consumer or in the real estate business, nobody gets it done better than Oakwood Escrow. That's who I'd use, and you should too. Visit them at oakwoodescrow.com. That's oakwoodescrow.com.
Your home should be a place that you love coming to. Hi, I'm Nikki Klug, interior designer, and there is nothing I enjoy more than helping San Diegans live in homes that they fall madly in love with. I've helped hundreds of homeowners experience a sense of luxury, rejuvenation, and inspiration in their everyday lives. If you need help creating a home that you love, please visit me online at nikkiklugdesign.com or call me at 619-948-7173.
AM 1170, The Answer.
I don't care, baby, by the way.
Ah, getting this pumped up. We are back. This is Rise Up Radio. I'm your host, Jared Kelly, and co-host James Carmody. We have a very special guest, Aaron Weiderman, and she, if you left us before the break, just has dug into this, not through the process, a hard process of having to go through cancer, of being in isolation for 72 hours after taking a radiation pill. And I've tried to sit down for like 5 minutes and be still and not have people around. It's impossible. It's like a whole day. So 72 hours digging into just what's life? What are you doing here? What is this about? And through that, she rediscovered her journey after probably the second time of being in the finance, then being a teacher. And now we're in kind of that third phase of, okay, I can be a teacher and impact some people, but let's like step up the game. So she's created a series of books that tell the story of women in the Bible and the powerful story of how they are heroes and how women can emulate them and little girls can have something to look up to that really means something. And it isn't just about the layers of makeup that you can put on and about the what society does to put us in a box, but something that we can really genuinely look up to. And let's dig into what are the books and what do those look like?
Yeah, so the series consists of five books. So you've got five women, each exhibiting a quality of inner beauty. So Hannah is first. She's the belle of prayer. And each of them is a belle of something. Belle is Latin for beautiful. So we really wanted there to be a highlight for, you know, what does it take to have a beautiful character? Because so much of the emphasis for today's girl is what's beautiful on the outside, right? So Hannah is first. She's the belle of prayer. That story is really about helping girls understand that they have the superhuman ability to talk to the Lord and to be open and honest and to communicate whatever they're feeling, whatever's in their heart. They have a line to him and they can give him the information that they need to pass on in order to first forge that relationship. So it's really just about praying, being open, and being honest about what's in your heart. The second book is Esther, the Belle of Patience. So once you've sort of established you're communicating and you're talking to the Lord, the next step is really to sit down and wait for him to give you a word, an encouragement, a piece of advice about something, for him to become part of that relationship or to be part of that relationship two-way with you. So Esther's the second bell. Our third bell, it got here last week, Abigail, the bell of bravery. Literally, I took a picture and posted on Instagram of me sitting on the shipment of boxes because we're like super excited it's here. Abigail is the bell of bravery. She is just a beautiful example of doing the right thing despite feeling scared. And this book specifically, I think, is going to speak powerfully to the next generation of girls. And we're already getting excellent feedback and reviews from parents and kids about this book because this quality of bravery is something that is so needed for kids. A lot of the times, kids know what the right thing to do is, but they can't do it because something is holding them back. So Abigail, the Belle of Bravery, really just relays the story of Abigail from 1 Samuel 25. And it's about showing you that with the confidence and trust that you're building in the Lord, there is nothing that you can't handle. He is standing right next to you through every decision, and you can step into those hard situations with confidence and with peace and just feeling brave, feeling like you can do the right things, do the things that need to be done, you know, that you can get in the game when everyone else is comfortable on the sidelines. And I love sports analogies. I don't know why I looked at James, but the sports part of me it makes sense, right? And talking about being on the sideline, that is a very safe place for kids to be. It is hard as a kid to stick your neck out and do the right thing. So that's our hope with this third book.
Got to get on the court.
Yeah. The fourth book is Ruth, the Belle of Loyalty. So actually this fourth book that I'm working on now is really where the series takes an exciting turn for me. You know, this was born out of, you know, not understanding why my niece and her sister love and are obsessed with all the Disney princesses. And I'm not knocking Disney. Disney's great. Like, I grew up with those stories. We all know and love those stories. But there is something that happens when a girl can latch on to a hero. And when you hear the word princess, and when you think about that word as it exists in our culture, that has to do with, all right, I'm a princess, so I should be served and things should happen for me. I don't necessarily have to do anything for anybody else. I just have this stature, this level of royalty that I'm entitled to. And that's a really hard pill to swallow, I think, as a young person. And our goal, at least my goal with this series, is to really flip that spirit of entitlement on its head, because true loyalty and true leadership, and those are the next two bells, Ruth and Deborah, have everything to do with serving other people and nothing to do with being served yourself. So Ruth is the fourth bell in the series. She's the bell of loyalty. It's about understanding that the needs of others can and should come before your own needs. And it's okay to love people. And there are no rules about loving people. Jesus just said to love people. He didn't give us a lot of rules for how to do that. So it's pretty simple. And Deborah is the fifth bell. She's the bell of leadership. That one specifically, it's meant just to be this five-step series. So when you get to Deborah, you feel empowered as a young girl to say, okay, God created me beautiful. I am enough. And I have value to provide inside this life and to other people. What is that value? I'm ready to step in and I'm ready to go get it.
And all of that is there. You could have 30 self-help books just on those pieces, what you've done, and you mentioned the Disney and why that probably resonates with a lot of people, is it's easy to understand. It's easy to see. It's very well done. These books are like A-plus quality, top-notch.
Top-notch.
The graphics are not like something that I drew. These are... These are books as a dyslexic person that I could read because they're very artistic. They're very well put together. And I think it's something that is going to be a game changer.
So
I really do.
So two things there. Thank you for saying that. So our artist is former Disney animator Rob Corley. He worked on all of my favorite Disney films, The Lion King, Beauty and the Beast, Mulan. I mean, he just the level of expertise that goes into character development and illustrating every page is second to none because, and we always say this, my husband and I, we launched this as a husband and wife team only a year ago. We just hired our first employee, but we say this all the time. If we are truly competing for our children, we have to do it on the same level as the rest of the world. And you've got Pixar and Disney and all of these visually stunning, amazing advances in technology and digital media. If we are competing for our kids, we have got to play that same game. Same field, same equipment, same everything.
If you're listening to this and you know how to make some movies, someone needs to make this into a video production too.
We did that on purpose. We hired Rob on purpose. You know, we are looking toward things like an animated series and video devotionals and full-length feature films. I mean, parents like me who have young girls who are just looking out in the world going, okay, where are the heroes? Where are the cool stories I can point them to? Are they going to be able to tell if it's, you know, if it's side by side with Frozen, for example? Can it compete? Yeah. Is my daughter going to want to pick that up? And it's the truth of the world we live in.
I think it's very important because distribution does matter. And to really look at it, it's everything. But to have a story that means something behind distribution, there's a lot of Disney. There's a lot of Marvel's done a great job of this, of they have an agenda behind it. Like there's a reason why there's 13 Wolverine movies is because people buy them and it's compelling. So I think that you're onto something here because it's not only going to be an amazing piece that people can, from an entertainment level and from a visual level, just see and get to experience, but it's going to resonate with the heart. And it's going to draw people in. And I think even myself, just sitting here today, like I want to understand it more. I'm drawn into something bigger than just the animation piece. And you've done an amazing job of doing that. And the Rise Up Radio team, we're going to actually give away a series of
these. Let's do that.
So it's Black Friday. You're running a promo. What does that look like?
Yeah. So the promo is, it's the first three books in the Herd series. So it's Hannah, Esther, and Abigail. And we have for each book as an accompaniment, a 7-day devotional for parent and child to go through. It's got games and activities and memory verses and lots of different fun things, but a week-long devotional that really complements the story well and will help you extend those themes and that conversation in your own home about inner beauty.
So you're giving the mentors of these children, whether it be a parent or a grandparent or daycare.
Uncle.
Teachers.
Uncle, yeah, somewhat teachers, a tool to help work through this. And I think that's a lot of pieces that are missing of especially the women of the Bible. We don't see those tools. We don't even see them talked about or communicated well. So go to our website, sdriseup.com, fill out the simple form on there, and we will give you one of these. We're going to draw someone. We'll have a Facebook piece on there. So follow us on Facebook, Rise Up Radio, or fill out the form on the website. Aaron, thank you so much for just leaning in and sharing your story. You've been a blessing to so many. And just like Aaron, we all have a story. We all have a piece that we can do to be part of America's finest city, yes, but something even bigger than that. And I encourage you to lean in that and rise up.